Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for checking out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, and on the Sports Animal app powered by Big Kuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. It is late, well after 11 o'clock on Wednesday night, December 30th, which means Tennessee and Missouri just ended a few moments ago, and wanted to get this out to the listeners immediately following that beatdown for Tennessee of 12th-ranked Missouri, and it was a beatdown. Tennessee taking care of business on the road to start SEC play. The Volunteers now 7-0 to start the year, a highly anticipated game between two undefeated teams entering conference play, a game that a lot of people thought would be low-scoring, defensive, Missouri being a physical team that can play good defense, knock opposing offenses out of their rhythm, but can also score points when it has to. Tennessee, known much more for its defense, a top three team in the country in the KenPom rankings in terms of defensive efficiency, inside the top 10 overall in terms of adjusted efficiency margin. Missouri already with two top 20 wins in the KenPom rankings over Oregon and Illinois. And Tennessee went into Columbia and put down a whooping on the Tigers to start off conference play, and it was impressive on offense. It was impressive on defense. It frustrated Missouri for most of the first half, built up a 13-point lead heading into the break, led by as many as 26 at one point, and Missouri just never really had a chance. There was an opportunity there kind of late in the first half where Missouri made a big stop on defense when it was down by 12, had an opportunity to maybe cut it to 10. Instead, you had a bad three-point attempt that was missed. Tennessee went down the other end, scored to make it a 14-point game, and you just never felt Missouri really cut it close again after that. Tennessee held a double-digit lead for most of the game in the entire second half, and just a very impressive performance by Tennessee overall. Offensively, Tennessee shooting 50% from the floor, 71% from three. Now, just 5 of 7 from behind the arc, but the ability to get inside and generate scoring. Tennessee just 58% from the free throw line. Several of those misses coming late in the game with some of the reserves. EJ Anasicki going 0 for 2. Devontae Gaines going 1 for 4. Keon Johnson 0 for 1. So, and Juroš Plavšić going 1 for 2. So the majority of those misses coming from the reserves late in the game when the game was already well in hand. You look at the starters, Fulkerson 3 for 4. Pons 3 for 4. Vescovi 2 for 2. So Tennessee not getting to the free throw line nearly as much as it normally does. And Jaden Springer going 4 for 5 as well, by the way. But still seeing Tennessee, when it needed to, take advantage of its opportunities. The Vols won the rebounding battle again. They forced Missouri into making turnovers, which is not typically what Missouri does, but 21 turnovers for Missouri, just 14 for Tennessee, and 5 blocks for the Volunteers, 4 by Eve Pons. He was fantastic defensively, 13 points, 4 blocks, 2 steals, 6 rebounds, 3 of 4 from the line, 5 of 9 from the field. He hit that turnaround jumper from just inside the free throw line early on, and that kind of opened things up for Tennessee's offense, I feel like. And while Tennessee didn't take a lot of outside shots when it kind of had some of those looks, Missouri does a really nice job at forcing players to have to play off the dribble when it pressures the perimeter. And so Missouri, I think, did a good job at that. It's really good on the interior, because for a good stretch there in the first half, when Tennessee went without a field goal for about 3 or 4 minutes, a lot of that was guards trying to drive the lane and putting up contested shots from inside and trying to draw fouls. And Missouri stayed disciplined. They went straight up. They kind of formed a wall there. Kobe Brown, I think, is really going to be a stud. You can make the argument that he'll be one this year, but I think he'll be a stud for Missouri. As just a sophomore, I think he's done some really nice things. He's the youngest player in that starting five for Mizzou, and I think he's going to be a really good basketball player for Konzo Martin. Just 4 points on the night, but 2 blocks, 5 rebounds, and not his best night offensively, but he's capable of hitting those outside shots. He's not afraid to pull up from outside. Now, Missouri's a bad three-point shooting team, And I think Tennessee was able to force Missouri into taking some bad shots. The Tigers just 3 of 16 from beyond the arc. They were shooting about 24% going into this game, or closer to 26%, I should say. 26% going into this game from outside, and shot just 18% against Tennessee, 36% from the field, and just 60% from the charity stripe. And you add that with 21 turnovers and getting out rebounded, and it's just not a recipe for success. 24 fouls for both teams in this game. And Tennessee, I think, did its part in terms of shutting down Missouri defensively and forcing Missouri to take some really bad shots. And Missouri kind of settled for bad shots at times, too. And we've seen that happen with a couple of SEC teams now. Saw that with Ole Miss on Tuesday night against Alabama when the Tide kind of went on a run. The Rebels felt like they needed to get the entire deficit back in one shot. So there was a stretch where they took some bad three-pointers, and Ole Miss isn't a great three-point shooting team. And that's the case with Missouri. And it was on Wednesday night against the Volunteers. Tennessee was dominant. Tennessee really took it to Missouri on its home floor. And I think that's an impressive statement for Tennessee when you look at how good they have been defensively throughout the season. We knew what Tennessee could be defensively, but to go in and beat a defensive team that is capable of putting points on the board by 20 on the road when both teams are undefeated going in, that says a lot about what Rick Barnes has done with this team and how quickly Tennessee is developing on the offensive end. Because it's one thing to look at wins over USC Upstate and Appalachian State and St. Joseph's and Tennessee Tech and say, okay, well, they beat these four teams in 9 days, but come on, it's really weak competition. I mean, the highest ranked team in the KenPom rankings, I believe, was Appalachian State, somewhere around the 180 mark. USC Upstate ranked outside the top 300, and that was actually the one game where Tennessee got off to a slow start in. But when you are able to do that and shoot that well against Missouri, and could Tennessee have shot from outside more? Sure, but they didn't really have to. I mean, when you're shooting from 50% from the floor and Missouri is still trying to shut down the perimeter and Tennessee's able to get inside and make shots and they utilized back cuts and baseline cuts really effectively. I thought Tennessee did a good job at getting easy looks. There was a really even distributing in terms of the scoring throughout the game for Tennessee. You had four players score in double figures against a top 30 defensive team, according to KenPom. A game where Tennessee was just a 3.5-point favorite and they won the game by 20. I mean, this is a statement win for Rick Barnes and Tennessee this year. And it was Tennessee's first real test. And I would also say, try not to overreact to it at the same time. I'm not saying that Tennessee is going to go 18-0 in SEC play. And Missouri might come back down to earth. And that's going to be the important part of this, is how does Missouri respond after taking its first loss of the year? Their resume already, as it stands, is really good. 6-1, wins over Oregon and Illinois, and it's only losses to a top 10 Tennessee team. So it's not as if Missouri is suddenly a bad basketball team, might have just had a bad night, and these two teams will play each other at least once more before this regular season is over. So keep that in mind as well as we get closer to the day where Missouri comes back to Knoxville, because college basketball can be like that. I also think that you're not going to see Missouri traditionally shoot 36% from the floor, commit more than 20 turnovers, and also give up 50% shooting from the field. And Missouri's typically a good three-point defense, defensive team. Now, Tennessee shooting 70% from behind the arc did that, but also it only took 7 3-point attempts. So Missouri doing a nice job at keeping Tennessee from continuing to go back to that route. But Tennessee just got off to such a hot start. Missouri could never really catch up. And I kept asking myself while watching this game, okay, well, how is Tennessee going to respond when Missouri makes its move? And anytime Missouri tried to make a move, Tennessee shut it down pretty quickly. You would see a 4, 5, 6-point run for Missouri here and there. Tennessee would go through a bit of a drought. But Tennessee defensively kind of picked up when the offense was struggling and Missouri wasn't really able to make a really strong run against the Volunteers. And that leads to a big Tennessee win. And so now Tennessee is 7-0. It has Alabama coming up next. And just mentioned Alabama picking up a win over Ole Miss to start SEC play on Tuesday night. And that's an experienced team that's not entirely consistent, but it's a fast team. It's going to be a battle of tempos. Tennessee, one of the slower paced teams in college basketball. They really like to control the flow of the game. Alabama, they like to turn games into a track meet. So that's going to be a fun game to watch on Saturday. It was a nail biter when those two teams played last year, but Tennessee and Missouri, the Vols pick up easily their best win of the season. Missouri went into this game ranked 40th in KenPom, where Colorado was ranked 33rd. So for Tennessee, it now has a pair of top 50 wins in the KenPom ranking. Cincinnati has fallen off the map a little bit since that early season win for Tennessee. Cincinnati just 2-5 on the year, ranked 78th in KenPom. So it's a second quad one win for Tennessee when we're getting into the NET rankings. And so the Vols off to a nice start, and now they'll have more opportunities as they get deeper into conference play with Alabama coming up on Saturday. They'll play Missouri again, and then of course the rest of the conference will feature its own handful of quality opportunities for the Vols to continue to boost their resume. Then again, you win the SEC, you don't need to worry about resume. You just need to worry about focusing on the NCAA tournament, and Tennessee is off to a very good start. An efficient day for really all of Tennessee's starters. Josiah Jordan James, just 1 of 3 for the field, but impacting the game in other ways. Had a block, had 3 steals, had 4 assists, had 3 rebounds, and the rest of the backcourt kind of took over. Vescovi got off to a good start. He was 5 of 7 from the field, arguably his best offensive showing of the season. Led Tennessee with 15 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist to go with it. And rebounded nicely, I thought, from a bad stretch early in the first half where he had a turnover, then ended up taking a foul, and bounce back from that by hitting a 3-pointer. And so Vescovi shaking off some mistakes early on in the game and didn't let that affect his overall performance. Pons 5 of 9 from the field with 13 points. Fulkerson 4 of 9 from the field, 6 rebounds to go along with it. And kind of a scary moment there in the first half where he went down holding what looked like that right wrist that he normally has taped and kind of just needed a moment, shook it off, and then shortly thereafter hit a pretty long fadeaway jumper at the shot clock buzzer to give Tennessee a 31-13 lead. So Fulkerson shook that off pretty quickly and seemed to be fine the rest of the night. You had Victor Bailey Jr. go 4 of 6 from the field. He had 9 points in the game, made his first 4 shots. So Tennessee just overall very efficient on offense. And Tennessee's not going to shoot 50% from the field night in and night out. It's certainly not going to shoot 71% from 3-point range, but some things that you're seeing Tennessee do more consistently is be more efficient on offense. It's consistently out-rebounding opponents. It's winning the turnover battle, and it's not making a ton of key mistakes. And it's putting itself in a position where it can allow the freshmen, Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, to go out to play the game. They're going to make some mistakes, but they're going to make some plays for you as well. Johnson, 3 of 6 from the field, had 3 turnovers, had an errant pass that just went over the head of his intended target, had another turnover where just one too many handles with the basketball and ended up giving the ball away. So that's something that Johnson's going to have to work on. Right now, he leads Tennessee in turnovers per game. Jaden Springer, 4 of 7 from the field, 4 of 5 from the charity stripe, 4 rebounds, an assist, 3 steals, continuing to play really solid defense, a pair of turnovers. But all in all, I think you take a performance like that from Springer as he continues to show that he can shoot from outside as well, hit a 3-pointer in the game on Wednesday night. And so Tennessee's freshmen continuing to play valuable minutes. They're still coming off the bench. Rick Barnes said that they were going to continue to do that, that he was going to continue to work with that same rotation entering SEC play. But I really do expect Springer especially, but Springer and Johnson both at some point to play their way into the starting lineup. But if Victor Bailey Jr. and Santiago Vescovi keep having nights like they did on Wednesday night, it might be difficult for them. It may not be a matter of Springer and Johnson. It might just be this is working for Tennessee, and its depth and its talent are continuing to put Tennessee in a position to win. So if Victor Bailey Jr. keeps having nights like he did on Wednesday, and Vescovi is being really efficient from outside and he's limiting his turnovers, and Josiah Jordan James continues to just be a really stable piece in the backcourt for Tennessee, then maybe you won't see as many starts for Springer and Johnson. But I do think at some point this season, you're going to see those guys crack the starting five And obviously, you know what you have in your front court with John Fulkerson and Eve Pons. And Pons, just a monster night on defense. And we've seen a couple games this year where he hasn't registered a block. He's making up for it when he has nights like the one he did with four blocks against Missouri, along with a pair of steals. Just absolutely insane on defense. The reigning SEC player of the year, SEC defensive player of the year, making his presence felt on defense in his 2020 SEC debut. A nice way to ring in the new year for Tennessee's star forward. So looking around the rest of SEC play so far through the first two nights of action, the Tuesday and Wednesday to open up SEC play, we've got a big SEC basketball weekend coming up. But Tennessee defeats Missouri 73-53 on the road. The Vols are now 7-0, 6-1 against the spread, and it's another double-digit win for Tennessee. We'll have more coming up next on the Vols and the SEC on the Behind the Arc podcast. Looking ahead at Tennessee's next opponent in Alabama, that's who the Vols will host in their SEC home opener on Saturday. Alabama coming off an SEC opening win over Ole Miss, 82-64 on Tuesday night, and Alabama could pose some problems for Tennessee. I think Alabama is one of those teams where you're not going to see them towards the top of the SEC standings by the end of the season, but that's a very experienced team that had a pretty solid recruiting class coming in. I believe they were ranked 11th in the country for the 2020 recruiting class. Josh Primo is getting the start at guard right now and playing some valuable minutes there as a four-star freshman. But the top five scorers for Alabama are all guys that have played a significant amount of time for Nate Oates. You have Javon Quinterly, who has come in and averaged 13 points per game and has embraced a much larger scoring role this season. He's been really important for what Alabama has been doing this season. Just a sophomore, but making his presence felt. And last night, actually played 32 minutes off the bench. You have John Petty Jr. that's at times is coming off the bench this year, but of course you know what he can do. And Quinterly had 24 points in that win over Ole Miss, by the way. So a lot of these guys can be explosive. You've seen John Petty Jr. go out and play a big time basketball. Alex Reese, a double digit scorer against Ole Miss. And then you look at some familiar names that you have in the starting five. Jaden Shackelford, who can go off, didn't have his best game against Ole Miss. And then Herb Jones, who is very reliable in the front court for Alabama. And then you toss in Jordan Bruner, the transfer from Yale, who was really important for what the Bulldogs did in the Ivy League last year. They won the Ivy League. Bruner was a big part of that. Would have been in the NCAA tournament, probably as a fairly respectable 11 or 12 seed had the tournament been played. And so Bruner opting to transfer, came to Alabama, and he's really helped out Nate Oates to start off Oates' second year in Tuscaloosa. And so then you have Primo, a really talented freshman. And so it's an experienced team. It has guys that can score, and it's a team that likes to play very, very fast. One of the fastest teams in terms of adjusted tempo in the country. And it is not afraid to make opponents run up and down the floor. It will force you on defense to take bad shots. And Alabama fairly balanced when it comes to what it can do on both ends of the floor. 41st in adjusted offensive efficiency, 46th in defensive efficiency, and 20th in tempo. So the Crimson Tide, that they're 6-3, still a top 50 KenPom team, ranked 45th overall. And I think for Tennessee, this is another nice test and opportunity where if you're not careful, this team can run up the score on you because of how fast Alabama likes to play. And all it takes is one of these guys, one of these athletes that they have in the backcourt, whether it's Shackelford, whether it's Petty Jr., whether it's Quinterly, whether it's Primo, going off, and suddenly you could have a real issue on your hands. So Alabama starts off SEC play with a win over Ole Miss, winning 82-64. Ole Miss, they've got some good players. Romello White coming in from Arizona State was a big-time transfer get for Kermit Davis, but they are going to miss Brian Tyree on the offensive end. LSU handled Texas A&M with some ease, 77-54 on Tuesday. Thought that was pretty impressive for LSU. Cam Thomas is somebody that you need to pay attention to. He went off 32 points against the Aggies. He's averaging over 23 points per game as a freshman this season. And Texas A&M, a team that likes to slow the pace down, wasn't able to do it. It got itself sped up against the Tigers. and could not keep up with what LSU was doing. When you consider Javonte Smart, Darius Dace, Trendon Watford, when it was announced that all three of those guys were coming back, the expectations for LSU became very, very high. You throw Cam Thomas into the mix, and this is a very talented team. Now, LSU has not looked great at times this season, even though they are 6-1. At times, they have struggled to put away inferior opponents, and maybe that's just a matter of overlooking bad teams. But when this team can get up and play, it can get up and play. Kentucky and South Carolina, of course, was postponed. Mississippi State defeated Georgia 83-73. So after a couple of early losses for Mississippi State, the Bulldogs have won 6 of their last 7, and now they're 1-0 in SEC play. Georgia was 7-0. It had not really played anybody. I was not expecting much from the Bulldogs this year. You just look at what Tom Crean's having to deal with down there. I mean, they were bad last season with Anthony Edwards. It's hard to imagine them being much better in conference play without him, and it's about more focus on Xavier Wheeler. I just don't know if Georgia has the talent to keep up with the rest of the league. Arkansas played probably its toughest game of the season to date on Wednesday night against Auburn, and it's not a great Auburn team. They're not going to the postseason. They don't have Sharif Cooper. But Arkansas had won all of its games by double digits, and probably its best opponent was UT Arlington. And going into SEC play, it ended up having to go on the road, take on Auburn, and this was a game that Arkansas lost in overtime last year when it didn't have Isaiah Joe, had a big lead against the Tigers, ended up blowing it in overtime, and it went out and beat Auburn by 12 on Wednesday night, 97-85. So the Razorbacks, another win. They are now 9-0 on the season, and every game they have played, they have won by double digits, and Florida beat up on Vanderbilt 91-72. So no Keontae Johnson, no problem for the Gators. He has been attending practice and working as a coach, so really good to see that. Should be a fun basketball slate on Saturday, and we're obviously hoping that South Carolina can return to action after having the Kentucky game postponed due to COVID-19 issues. South Carolina is actually not playing in conference action, nor is Ole Miss. Both those teams are playing non-conference games. So you have Arkansas and Missouri set to begin at noon on Saturday. At 1 o'clock, you have South Carolina hosting Florida A&M. At 2 o'clock, you have Florida and LSU. Texas A&M takes on Auburn at 3:30. And then at 6 o'clock, you have Kentucky and Mississippi State. Ole Miss hosts Wichita State. And that is when Alabama will take on Tennessee. So you have a lot of SEC games in action. And then the following Wednesday, a week from tonight, Tennessee will take on Arkansas. So you could have another battle of undefeateds, depending on how this weekend goes on January 6th. That is a 7 o'clock tip-off. And again, the game on Saturday between Tennessee and Alabama is a 6 p.m. tip-off, so you can enjoy your New Year's weekend with some Tennessee basketball on Saturday night. So as it stands right now, Tennessee is ranked 7th in the country. If it handles business against Alabama this weekend, something tells me that ranking will go up, especially after Wisconsin took an unexpected loss to Maryland earlier in the week. Houston lost its first game of the season to Tulsa on Tuesday night. So a couple of top 10 teams that were ranked ahead of Tennessee have taken some losses. Tennessee just picked up a top 15 win. So I would think the voters would find that pretty impressive. We'll see if Tennessee can climb even higher. Again, Tennessee began the season ranked 13th in the country and quickly ascended into the top 10. So Arkansas, LSU, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi State, all winners to start SEC play. Missouri, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Auburn, Vanderbilt lost, and Kentucky and South Carolina have yet to open their SEC slate. So again, to recap, Tennessee has 4 double-digit scores against a really good defensive team in Missouri. What to make of it? Well, one thing is that Tennessee is showing it can become a strong offensive team, and Tennessee's defense, I don't want to say it's a guarantee, but it feels like a guarantee at this point. In terms of offensive efficiency, Tennessee actually dropped after Wednesday night's win. And I think part of that is just when you compare what other teams around the country are doing. But Tennessee, the 36th ranked team in offensive efficiency, it has actually moved up to 2nd now in terms of defensive efficiency. So Tennessee moving ahead of Clemson, despite the Tigers getting what I thought was a really impressive win over Florida State on Tuesday night. So Tennessee only behind Texas Tech in the defensive efficiency rankings, according to KenPom. But Tennessee has moved up to number 6 overall in the KenPom rankings. Gonzaga number 1, Baylor number 2, Villanova number 3, Iowa number 4. Iowa picking up what I thought was a good win over Northwestern, a nice bounce back win for the Hawkeyes after they lost to Minnesota over the weekend. Wisconsin number 5. Again, Wisconsin still a top 5 KenPom team despite losing to Maryland over earlier in the week. And then Tennessee at number 6, right in front of Kansas, Illinois, Texas, and Houston, rounding out the top 10. So Tennessee making some moves up the polls. If it beats Alabama on Saturday, expect it to continue to climb up the Associated Press top 25 poll as well. Final score from Columbia: Tennessee 73, Missouri 53. The Vols 7-0 on the season and ranked 7th in the country in the AP poll. Everybody have a happy new year. We will talk to you again after the Tennessee-Alabama game on Saturday. Should be a lot of fun having a full SEC weekend. Hopefully we see all the teams in action and we can avoid all these cancellations. But an impressive start for Tennessee against the Missouri Tigers and former Tennessee coach Konzo Martin. The Vols getting it done on the road to open up SEC play. Thank you again for checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. We'll be back over the weekend right here on the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.